Between the unseasonably warm temperatures and an unusually robust movie release calendar, you might just think summer is already upon us. Two recent releases are certainly turning up the heat on their respective genres, one an R-rated send-off to a beloved comic book character, the other a sharply observed commentary on race disguised as a horror film. I'm Charles Horak, and you're listening to On Film. Joining me to discuss two films in theaters now, Logan and Get Out. I'm happy to have back on the program frequent on-film contributor Jean Creel. Good morning, Jean.
Good morning. Thank you.
We've been out to the movies, and two good ones, I think. But March has certainly started off with a bang. The much-anticipated film in the X-Men superhero franchise, Logan, came out to big box office.
Right, right. Logan, a.k.a. Wolverine, a.k.a. Hugh Jackman, of course. Too violent, too bloody, too profane, too long. But having said that, kudos to director James Mangold and all the cast and crew. They've taken a time-honored and treasured Marvel comic franchise and turned it on its ear. It's 2029. Wolverine, a.k.a., of course, Logan, is aging and ailing, as is his mentor, Professor Xavier, played poignantly and heroically by Patrick Stewart. Logan now works as a limo driver, earning money to provide the professor with drugs which alleviate his advancing dementia and poor health. Together with Caliban, an albino mutant, they have retreated to an abandoned factory on the Mexican border, getting by one day at a time. Unlike the films in the X-Men franchise, there is no humor and no parade of mutants. This is a dark and dirty world which seems to have no need or place for mutants anymore. When Logan's approached by a nurse with a child in her care, she begs him to take the girl to a refuge in Canada, hinting that the girl, Laura, is a mutant and her life is in danger from the corporate monsters who are experimenting with reinventing mutants for their own nefarious purposes. At first resistant, Logan eventually finds himself, along with the professor and Caliban, on a dangerous journey north with this young girl who bears a disturbing resemblance to Wolverine. Now, while at this point it may seem that this is just another entry in the series, we quickly realize this film is truly about his character. Logan is sick at heart, in his soul, and apparently in his body as well. He's disillusioned. He's furious at what was done to him. While it may seem that Logan is atoning for his past sins, he has no expectations of redemption. He doesn't deserve redemption. Essentially, he is the anti-hero, seeking only deliverance. Little Laura's determination to get to a sanctuary in Canada, based largely on having read about it in a Marvel comic book, Logan rages against what he calls the fantasy and illusion of it all. Though taglines for the film refer to it, of course, as action, superhero, sci-fi, and thriller, it is so much more. A cathartic release and an iconoclastic finale that even devoted X-Men fans will flock to.
And I heard a few sniffles in the audience when I saw it.
Did you?
This is, the departure of Hugh Jackman in this amazing character he's been playing for 17 years.
True.
You know, I wasn't as bothered by the R-rated nature. It is something to remark about because all of these superhero films up until, say, Deadpool, which did great box office as an R-rated film, have been PG-13 and have toned down their violence. This is the one character, though, in that Marvel universe, the Wolverine or Logan, that I think befits R-rated. And the violence is extreme, so it's not a kid's film. We should warn people. The Western mythology that weaves through it is pretty fascinating. James Mangold, the director, has made a lot of his inspiration from Westerns, and you can see that in a modern sense as it plays out. In fact, Shane is even playing on a television in a hotel room.
Right, right. There are more than one reference to Shane. And one of James Mangold's films, which I love, is 310 to Yuma.
Oh, sure.
The one with Russell Crowe.
I think one of his finest films. And a great remake of a classic Western. You know, I was thinking, watching Logan, that these films are in production oftentimes for multiple years. But how timely this film is. We start on the Mexican border, supposedly right near El Paso, Texas, and it's about this father figure moving this immigrant, if you will, this Mexican girl, across the border and across the western states to asylum in Canada, of all places. It's about xenophobia and borders and walls and asylum and and so much more, and a government that's hot on their heels
along the way. And she is a victim.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah, she is a victim. And this young woman, Daphne Keene, does an amazing job, I think, in an almost wordless performance. We should note that it is sometimes difficult to watch because, and groundbreaking, because this little girl is engaging in the same kind of violence that Logan and Wolverine enact upon their pursuers in a ferocious manner.
It very ferocious is the word that comes to mind. And in fact, my stepson made the comment about how she even has the claws in her feet as well as her hands.
Right. A double threat.
Right.
Well, this certainly, I think the popularity of this character and how they approach this film is so novel to how other superhero films have been done. I imagine it will be influential on coming superhero films.
Oh,
so
no doubt.
So expect more R-rated superhero films, I'm guessing.
I agree. And I think, too, even the X-Men franchise is certainly going to be looking very closely at the success of this and sort of reinventing itself.
Well, if Logan suggests fresh new directions for future superhero films, the recent movie Get Out is refreshing for its look to the past for ways to interpret the present. Get Out reestablishes the horror genre as a lab for experimentation and astute social commentary, which makes it new again. Jordan Peele makes his feature film directing debut with an astonishingly assured work that shows he's a studious cinephile at heart. If you're familiar with Peele's small screen work as one half of the television comedy duo Key and Peele, then you know that the satiric shorts produced for their show had an unusually high production value and attention to detail, filled with biting commentary on the state of pop culture, politics, and especially issues of race. All three of these elements are woven into Get Out, but the story, unlike Peele's television work, is not played for laughs and rarely unfolds the way we think it will. A young black man dating a white woman is going home to meet the girl's parents for the first time, but instead of a backwoods cul-de-sac of overt racial animus, he finds himself surrounded by smiling liberal white suburbanites, a bit too attentive and a bit too comfortable with his skin color. From the get-go, Peele toys with our assumptions of how the story will play out, slyly bringing us along hand in hand with this black protagonist. Peele builds a sense of unease slowly, making us pay attention to the small things that don't seem to quite add up, like the black gardener and maid that are a bit too happy in their chores and physiques, or Bradley Whitford's oversharing father and Catherine Keener's motherly psychologist who really wants our hero in the therapist chair. Get Out does have a few spare moments of levity, but make no mistake, the content and character of this film is deeply serious. It's an audacious debut horror film that smartly plays with racial suspicions and the appropriation of black identity by whites, turning signs of progress into the stuff of nightmares. Get Out is the work of an inspired commentator on our culture who's shown himself to be an equally accomplished filmmaker. With his film Get Out, Jordan Peele is just getting started. I really like this film.
Oh, I agree, Chuck. And you're right. The comedy duo of Key and Peele, they seem to be branching into film. Key, you know, was in that Why Him film with Franco and Cranston. But Peele, with his directing debut, he's obviously got a lot to say. From the very first scene, Peele is, to me, delivering winks and nods and flares. Nothing is what it seems to be. Every scene seems to begin innocently, and then all of a sudden there's a twist, and you know that something's not quite right. From the opening scene of the young black man furtively, nervously looking for an address in what's presumably a white upper-class neighborhood, notices a car following, and then it stops. And then we move on. I think, too, the leisurely drive of Chris and Rose on their way to her family home comes to a screeching halt when they hit a deer. And Chris's concern for the deer far surpasses Rose's, which I thought was sort of a red flag. But there are so many satiric and ironic twists, and some are humorous, but mostly they're very serious. And you see Rose very contentedly sipping milk and eating Fruit Loops while she trolls the internet. You see the deer antlers becoming a weapon of mass destruction. I really had to laugh when Chris picks cotton out of the armchair and what he does with it.
No, this is a very, very smart film.
And, very smart.
And Jordan Peele knows exactly what he's doing, and he's mm-hmm. clearly thought about it a long time. And you just look at every aspect of the film, the music,
the
production values, the art direction, the pacing of it is all so assured that he has clearly thought about all of these elements and how they go together into making cinema. He's clearly someone who's watched a lot of movies and absorbed a lot of lessons. The obvious influences of Guess Who's Coming to Dinner are there, the things like the Stepford Wives, you know, looking to the past. But I was really thinking of The Wicker Man from the early 70s, mm-hmm, about this mm-hmm. outsider in this community that doesn't seem quite right.
Right.
And I won't give anything. It's hard to talk about this movie without spoilers.
That's absolutely true. And I think comparisons to Rosemary's Baby are inevitable. Yep. But what came to mind as well was Jonathan Swift's masterpiece of satire, A Modest Proposal. Hmm. Where his solution is horrific and yet has an underlying humor to it that doesn't really soften the message, but perhaps maybe will reach a wider audience.
And there's a surface progressiveness to this that's both disarming and then alarming, that these are not the normal environments, brightly lit, sunshiny, white, manicured lawns. These are not the environments of most horror films. And right. what he does with that is just masterful. So I think we can both highly recommend this.
Definitely.
We've got a minute or two. Short takes, other things that people might want to be looking for on privacy of their homes, home video, streaming, ubiquitous streaming services that are out there.
I wanted to just say a few words about Silence. I know this was not a well-attended film. Scorsese, I think, dares to take on the issues of religion and faith and hope and loss.
Persecution and the nature of man. And
right. Uh-huh. And but I think what makes his film about the two Jesuits coming to Japan to reinforce and rediscover what has happened to their mentor and the state of the Catholicism in Japan and the pushback, obviously, from the Japanese, which is really understandable. And I think it's laudable for that Scorsese shows the cruelty with which they are combating it. And yet at the same time, through those incredible dialogues between the priests and such, that you see that their religion is just as valid and beautiful and heartfelt. It will be out on DVD on March 28th. It's not showing locally. It was only here a very brief time.
And I think it just might be, in the coming years, considered his masterpiece, Martin Scorsese's masterpiece.
I agree.
A long film. I was thinking, watching Logan's, another violent tween that's as played by Daphne Keene in the Logan film, but it got me thinking of another young woman raised to be an assassin and navigating a hostile world, and that's Hannah, the film from, I think it's 2006, starring a young Saoirse Ronan and Cate Blanchett and Eric Bana, mm-hmm. another father-daughter action film trying to stay alive while they're being tracked by this nefarious government agency. Nice pair, I think, with Logan, and that's streaming now on Amazon, so people might want to go back and check that out. I don't think it was well seen when it came out, but it's a solid film and a solid action film that covers some of the same ground as Logan.
So, absolutely.
Gene, always thanks for coming in and joining me to talk about movies, and keep watching.
Oh, always, always. Thank you, Chuck. It's always a pleasure.
I've been discussing the theatrical releases Get Out and Logan with frequent on-film contributor Gene Creel. Both films are rated R for violence, language, and subject matter, and a few other things. And both films bring renewed life to their respected genres. On Film was engineered today by Evan Walsh. An archive of past programs is available on this station's website at ktep.org. I'm Charles Horak. Thank you for listening to On Film.